seem willingly, since they ask so politely. So it's good to see you here tonight. Hope you've had a wonderful afternoon. It's good to be back in God's house in my own room, in my own. It is. Green and green. All right, there we go. As long as you can hear me, you'll be good. Maybe you just want to turn me down a little bit. I don't know. So thank you for y'all singing tonight. We appreciate that so much. And just want to thank you all for coming back out. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of John. John chapter 14 tonight, we're going to continue what they sing about, and that is lifting up Jesus Christ and all that he has done and all he has made available to us. And it's good to see some old friends tonight from my old church at Laurel Springs. Good to have them here. Appreciate them coming. I was very blessed to pastor there, and they actually still like me a little bit. That's just surprising to me, isn't it? You know, maybe they don't. I don't know. Maybe they just came to give me a hard time tonight. I don't know. But I just appreciate seeing them. It's always good to see familiar faces that God's allowed you to minister to. It's always good to be back here at a church that I love and hold to a high esteem, hold your pastor to a high esteem. I just think you're very blessed to have them and very appreciative to be here. So we're going to talk about this message of the gospel of God is what we're going to entitle it tonight, and talk out of John chapter 14. So when you get to John chapter 14, would you stand with me as we honor the reading of God's word together? John chapter 14, starting at verse number 1, we'll go down to verse number 6 together. It says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way which I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night. Thank you for this time together. God, we thank you for the worship that we've already had. Lord, I pray that you would just continue us in a heart of worship. We sing songs about an unclouded day. We sing songs about the reason that we have life. And God, it just always points us back to everything that we have is given to us through your Son, Jesus. So God, I pray that this time you would be high and lifted up in this place, that this would not be about me. This would not be just a sermon to impress, but God, this would be a sermon to inspire our hearts. And God, as we lift you up, you are, the message is so much more important than the messenger ever will be. So God, I pray that I would decrease so that you could increase. God, may your power and presence be felt in this place tonight. God, may your word be preached. May Jesus Christ, your exalted Son, be exalted. God, may your lives then be changed. And God, may you be glorified in all we say and do here tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. So many times in our day, we have confused what the gospel is. We have made the gospel into something that it is not. And therefore, tonight we just want to talk and look at what I think the gospel is, and where the gospel is found. We go into many churches today and we hear people stand and preach sermons that sound good and yet are not biblically positioned in what the gospel or the good news is. We hear things like, if you just turn the other leaf, you can be saved. Can I be honest with you? The other side of the leaf looks as bad as the side you've got right now. Amen? You can't turn enough sides of the leaf to find one good enough. If you'll just work harder and be more faithful in church, then God will save you. You can't come to church enough and just be saved off your church attendance. I don't care if you go back a long ways ago and you came to Sunday school all the time, and they came to Sunday school all the time, you got a little Sunday school pin. Do you remember those days? We had people that never come to church. They'd come to Sunday school all the time. They wanted to get a pen. Well, I hope they're going to show Jesus their pen when they get to heaven. Because I'm going to tell you something. He's not going to be that impressed. He's not looking for our Sunday school pen or our church attendance. Now, I will preach before I preach. Is that okay? Can I always do that? I say that all the time. That's just what I do. We say stuff like that about church attendance doesn't get us saved. But let me tell you something. If you're saved, guess where you'll be? church. I'm just going to throw that out there, let it simmer for a while, and let you just have that for a while. Somebody told me one time why they had to be they were a believer, but they didn't have to be a part of a local church and didn't need it. And I just thought that was crazy. Why in the world would you be connected to Christ? He loves the church. He died for the church. One day he's coming back for the church. That would be like you looking at me and saying what? Hey, Tim, I like you a lot, but I hate your wife. I'm just going to be honest with you. That ain't going to fly with me for a long time. But that's what most of us do with church and Jesus Christ. Hey, we love you, but we don't love your local body. But we think about church attendance, and that doesn't get us saved. Then I had one person tell me one time if they were just morally good, then they would be in heaven one day. Can I be honest with you? Morally good people still go to hell. You can do a lot of right things and still bust hell wide open. Therefore, we have to ask ourselves, what is the gospel? And even in a connotation with the gospel that we're going to talk about a little bit tonight, we have formed the gospel to be that just we get heaven and heaven is the gospel, and therefore that's our reward. And you're going to learn tonight that that's not even our real reward. Heaven's just an extra addition to what we get. What is the gospel? The gospel is this, that God himself is holy, and his standard is much higher than ours. And based off of his standard, none of us in here from a biblical perspective can reach it at all. None of us can. I don't care how good you think you are. I don't care how much church you go to. I don't care how much leaves you turn over. None of us can get to God's holy standard. As much as we try, we'll never be able to reach it. We think we can fulfill the law. We cannot. One breaking of the law makes sure we broke all the law, and none of us can reach his holy standard. Why? Because not only is he holy, we are sinners. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, all of us, each one of us in here, have fallen short of God's glory. We're all on even playing field tonight in this building, that all of us are sinners in here, and therefore sinners cannot reach a holy God on their own. So then therefore we must know the true gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is found in the Son Jesus Christ. The gospel is found in the fact that we can only connect to God through none other than Jesus himself. And therefore, if Jesus is the solution to get us to God and connect us to him, a sinner to a holy God, then our response has to be that we repent of our sin and we put our faith and trust in none other than Jesus Christ. My faith in salvation tonight is not found in how good I am. My salvation is not found in how much church I go to. My salvation is not found in the position that I find myself in church. It's not found in the fact that I'm a pastor. It's not found in the fact that you're a deacon. It's not found in the fact that you're a Sunday school teacher. It's not found in any of those things. It's found only in the grace and mercy and the life and salvation that you find in Jesus Christ. That's it. That's all I got to show him when I get there. I don't get to get up there and say this. Hey, guess what? Here's why I need to get in heaven. Did you know, Jesus? That's what I'm going to tell him. Jesus, did you know that my daddy was a preacher? You know how impressed he's going to be on that one? And you'd say, well, you'd never get up there and say that. But yet I talk to church member after church member after church member that I say, how are you connected to Christ? And you'll tell me something like this. Well, my mama and daddy's been to church their whole life. In fact, they're charter members up at that church. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Who in the world cares? Now, I'm glad your mama and daddy are charter members. I'm glad they faithfully came. But if you're going to pawn off their faith on your faith, that's just not biblical and that's just not true. Therefore, here's what we're going to find our salvation in tonight, and that is none other than Jesus Christ. Well, you say, that's pretty basic. Now, this doesn't seem like a sermon that I need. We already know that. Well, do you? I mean, a lot of people that put their faith in a lot of different things. But a lot of people that put their faith in themselves, their works, their morality, their goodness, their church attendance, their position, their faithfulness to said church. And yet he's going to tell us in this passage right here that there's no other salvation found in anybody else other than Jesus Christ himself. So we're going to read out of John tonight. That's just a little introduction, and then I've got a second introduction I want to do as well. Is that okay? Well, it's got to be okay because I'm preaching and we got to go with it. Amen? John, he gives us remember when you were in college or you were in high school, your professor, I was never very good at school. David was very good at school. He was very much older than I was in school. And he's very tight with the teachers. They asked me one time, somebody asked me the other day, said, was David his teacher's pet? Well, most of the time I didn't know where he was because he's sitting in their laps. I didn't know what he was doing. And I honestly thought most of my classes that I had with David, there was a co-teacher. I didn't know he was. I thought he was one. Amen. I'm kidding, Dave. But they'd look at us and say, you got to write papers. And I'm just going to be honest with you, my strong suit is not the written word. I don't know if my strong suit's the spoken word either, but it's better than the written word. And they would say, this Turabian is what we had to write. And good gracious, figuring that out was like figuring out, nuclear science. I didn't know that either, and I struggled with that. But they'd tell you, hey, you start with a thesis sentence that gives the purpose and reason of what you're writing, and then spend the rest of the time writing about what you say you're going to write about. That is, give a purpose and then fill it all up with what you're actually going to write about. The beautiful thing about John's gospel, is that John gives us his own thesis sentence. John writes in such a way that it's different from the other gospels. John writes in such a way that he gives us a purpose statement at the end of it to tell us why he wrote of all he wrote. John chapter 20, verse 31 tells us what? I have written these things that you would know that he is Jesus Christ, the what? Son of God. And that in him you can believe and have eternal life. That's his purpose. That's his reason. That's his objective. That's why if you look at Scripture, that gospel is separate from the other three synoptic gospels that we say are a lot alike. For instance, have you ever noticed that John leaves out things that the other three talk about? Now, the other three don't always go hand in hand with others. But like, for instance, does John have any parables in it? Leaves most of those out. Leaves most things out. It doesn't leave. It leaves most of the miracles out. In fact, he only gives us seven miracles, and all those miracles point to his thesis sentence of what? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that through him we can have eternal life. For instance, he starts where? For his first miracle in the book of John. Starts at a marriage ceremony. Somebody does something nobody's ever done before. And oh, by the way, his seventh miracle that he hits is where? He started at a wedding ceremony. He ends it at a funeral. And at both times and in both situations, Jesus Christ done something that nobody else has ever done before. And therefore sets him apart to be exactly who he says he is. And then he gives us seven I am statements in the book of John that all point to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, I'm going to do a little long introduction to get us where we're going, but eventually we'll get there, okay? John chapter 6, he tells us that he is the what? Bread of life. It comes after that miraculous sign of feeding of the 5,000, and he looks at a hungry crowd, and he says, you want a sign, you think you've seen something, you've seen the wrong sign because you're missing out on who I am. If you eat of me, you'll never be hungry. And oh, by the way, I'm so good, you'll never even thirst again. I'm all satisfying on who you are. John chapter 8, he comes and after the Feast of the Booths, where they probably had an open arena where there was a light that would light up that circle and that area by which they would come and celebrate together. And Jesus goes in there and looks at him and says what? Hey, guess what, boys? I am the light of the world. I'm exactly what you need. John chapter 10, he gives us a double dose of who he is. He tells us, first of all, that he is the door. He's the only way in. Other people are going to jump over. They're just thieves and robbers, and they've come as a hireling. But he's the door, and he is the way. And then, oh, by the way, when you see that he's the door, you'll also find out that he is the, not okay shepherd, not mediocre shepherd, not just an all right shepherd, but he is exactly what he says he is, the good shepherd. He's actually the good shepherd of the Old Testament's great shepherd in Psalm chapter 23. He is the one that has come to be our shepherd. Then John chapter 11, he goes out and meets Mary and Martha. They're a little upset. Their brother has died. He comes in, looks at them, and says, guess what? I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die, but he who believes in me has to have eternal life. And he tells them, guess what? I'll just go ahead and raise up your brother real quick, and then later on, I'm going to raise up myself because I'm going to do something nobody else has done before. And then in John chapter 14, he gives us another one. I am the way, truth, and life. In John chapter 15, he gives us the last one. I am the vine. What is he saying in all those? Is he just giving us a metaphor for the fact that he gives salvation? Partly. But he's also saying something about his deity of who he is. For instance, remember in Exodus, where Moses stands before God Almighty and says, gives him all those excuses of why he doesn't want to go, and he says, whom shall I say sent me? God speaks back and says what? Tell him I am has sent you. That is, tell him Yahweh God has sent you. That is my covenant name. Therefore, every time Jesus speaks an I am statement, he is saying to each and every one that is listening, I am God in human flesh. You'd say, well, that doesn't make a bit of difference. Well, why did it make him mad every time he said it? Because he was saying that he's God. Why did they always say after he said it most of the time, he is blaspheming? They wanted to stone him in John chapter 6 when he said the first one. Why? Because he has to be in deity form of who Jesus is. He is God Almighty. There's no disconnect between him. We're going to talk about that for a little bit tonight. But I want you to see this premise. And it's very basic. This is not like it. This ain't one of those sermons where you're going to go home and go, man, that's really enlightening. Of course, you probably didn't do that the first two times I preached either. But this is so good because here's what we've gotten away from in our day and time. We find the gospel or the good news in so many things that are not the gospel and the good news. See, I think the gospel's not just, I think the gospel's in a person. I think the good news is in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The fact that he has come, the fact that he has lived a sinless life, the fact that he has died on the cross, the fact that he has risen 3 days later, and the fact that we can call out to him for salvation, hope, mercy, and grace, and love, and it's found in none other than the person and work of Jesus Christ. That is the good news and the gospel tonight that can save you and set you free. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not going to take for granted the fact that you come back on a Monday night that you know Christ. Because if you don't, you need to know him tonight. And I'm not going to take for granted the fact that just because you're in your church and you're faithful and you've come on an extra night, that you're saved. I want you to know this. If you don't know Jesus Christ and you find your salvation in something other than Jesus Christ tonight, get saved, give your life to Christ, ask Christ to save you, and he'll save you. Because church ain't getting you in, good works ain't getting you in, morality's not getting you in, church attendance is not getting you in, but here's what will get you in. A surrendered life to none other than Jesus Christ will get you in. Three things I think Jesus gives through this gospel of God tonight. That is, first of all, he gives us peace. Look what he says in verse number 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Now, can you imagine that? Jesus does something every once in a while that just amazes me, that shows his humanity, which he has to have. Have you ever noticed? We're going to talk about his deity, but there's things as a humanity that he has to have. He has to have both in order for us to have what we have. You say, what do you mean by that? Jesus has to have his humanity so that he identifies with us and identifies with what we are going through, but he has to have his deity because he's got to be greater than something that we are to save those that are in their humanity. He has to be able to do something that we've never done before. And oh, by the way, he does it. But he shows his humanity a couple times, and it amazes me. For instance, when he meets up with Mary and Martha, and they are weeping, what does he do? He weeps with them. Even though he knows everything about what he's going to do. He's waited 2 days on purpose just to show what he's about to show, and yet he meets with people that he loves and cares for, and he weeps with them in their time of weeping. Then he gets here with his disciples, and he starts comforting them. Now, why is that shocking to you? Where's he preparing to go? He's preparing to go to the cross. He is essentially getting ready at the end of John to enter into his mission that he has come to do. Now, in the previous chapter, and we don't have all night to read the previous chapter, but let's just be honest. In the previous chapter, he's unloaded a little bit on them. He says, oh, by the way, one of you is going to betray me. hey, Peter, guess what? By the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. And, oh, by the way, I'm going to go again, and I'm going to go away. And he looks at them, and they just look like most of y'all look when I preach. That is it. And instead of just saying, which, thank the Lord, he's not Tim. But Tim would have responded a little different, really, here. I can be a little matter-of-fact. I can be a little bit, well, my wife says I'm not a little bit, very blunt, very to the point, and a little too much at times. In fact, she says I'll joke with people, and they won't know I'm joking. Then we'll get in the car, and she'll say, what are you doing? They don't even know who you are. Who said you could say that to them? God said I could say it to them. So I just go with that, amen. And I looked at these boys and I said this. Now, guys, I've been working on y'all for a long time. I've been walking with you and I've been talking with you and I've been teaching you everything that I've preparing you for. And now you look shocked and you look confused. It's what's going on. Have you not been listening to everything I've been saying? And if you haven't been listening, start listening now. Well, thank the Lord I'm not God, and I'm not the one that says anything right here. He just looks at them and immediately just comforts them, because that's who God is. That even in the time where he needs to be comforted, and he have a focus on himself, guess what he's not focused on? He's not focused on himself, he's focused on others, which, bless God, thank Jesus he's like that. And he looks at them and says, guess what, guys? You shouldn't be troubled. You should be comforted, because if you believe in God, believe in me. I am God. You've got this. I'll bring you peace in a troubled time. I'll bring you comfort in a chaotic time. I'll bring you peace even though the storm goes. I'll bring you strength and a comfort and a confidence even though your world around you is about to go crazy. And I want to give you comfort even in a time where I could be selfish. I'm going to be selfless and minister to you. And thank the Lord that he still does that today. I remember one time we went on vacation. We went on a vacation. We were young. We only had one kid at the time, which we thought that was hard. Good gracious. That's the good old days, amen? We was going to go to the beach. Emma was about one or two, I don't remember. We thought she was bad. Good gracious. She was amazing then. Now we have, hey, now we have something to compare it to. Yeah? So we get there, and we're in one of those hotels, kind of, the pool's in the middle of the hotel, like in the very middle, it's outside hotel. You know, we're poor, we're young, we couldn't stay in one of those fancy hotels. So we're going to go get in the pool, it's kind of getting a little dark, and we're going to go jump in the pool, because obviously Emma's going to want to swim. You know, she's just going to fall in line, jump on in. We're ready to go. We head on out there, and I jump in the water, and she stands on there because we think, she's a fish. She's going to jump right in, and she just starts screaming bloody murder. You thought we would have killed her. She starts yelling and screaming. I'm in the pool, begging her to jump in, and then she's screaming. And then people come out like they do on their hotel because they thought somebody was dying. Then they look at you and judge you and think you're a bad parent. Y'all been there? Y'all never been there before? What kind of vacations do y'all go on? They're looking at you like, good gracious, they're horrible parents trying to make her swim. She don't want to swim. I wouldn't jump to that big boy either. And I was sitting in the pool, and I kept saying the same thing over and over. Kept saying the same thing over and over. Emma, that's talking to a two-year-old. Emma, baby, jump. Like, just jump in the pool. One, you got so many floats on you, there's no way you're going down. Two, daddy's got this. Like, as much as possible, I'm not going to let anything bad happen to you. Like, you've just got to believe in me. Like, you've just got to trust me. You've just got to understand that I've got this. Now, we laugh at a two-year-old screaming bloody murder on the side of a pool, and we think that's funny, and yet I would wonder what God would think about us when we interact in our life towards him. Have we not put our trust and confidence in who he is? And he looks out at these disciples, and he says, guys, believe in me. Like, put your trust in me because I am God and I can handle this. And therefore, tonight, you're putting your trust and confidence in a lot of things. Here's where you need to find your trust and confidence above all things, and that is in none other than Jesus Christ. And I'm going to go off a little bit because the text doesn't say this, so you can get on me if you want to. But I'm going to tell you this. Some of you are going through things in life, and you're sitting on the side of a pool like a two-year-old, and you're screaming and yelling instead of trusting God that He's got this. Believe in Him, not believe in church, not believe in who you are. I hate it when sometimes we talk about willpower. Show me in Scripture where it talks about willpower. Show me in Scripture where it talks about self-esteem. We don't need self-esteem. Here's what we need, Christ's esteem. We need Jesus Christ to be our sufficiency and sanctification and our satisfaction. Because Paul tells us what? The only time He's really strong is when we're what? Really weak. And maybe, just maybe, some of us need to hear that tonight. That we need to put our peace and strength in none other than Jesus Christ. That He is God. And He's, more importantly, He's got this. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know where you are and I don't know what you find yourself in. I know this, though, that Jesus sympathizes with you and He knows what you're going through. He knows exactly what you need. The beautiful thing is we come up here and pray for Miss Mary tonight. Jesus knows exactly what she needs. And maybe I'm just a little biased. I love that lady. I've been very close with her two daughters at my other church, and she seems pretty confident where her hope is. At least she did this afternoon when we talked to her for a little bit. She knows who she's. She knows exactly what Paul told Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 1. She knows whom she has believed in. She knows who's entrusted to her. She knows where her security is. But my question is tonight to you, do you know where your confidence and peace is found? And hopefully it's found in none other than Jesus Christ. Not only is it Jesus Christ that He's our peace, but Jesus Christ is also our presence. Now, He's going to start talking about heaven right here. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I think the gospel is about the presence of God, who He is in our lives and where we are going. Now, notice that I did not use an alliterated P right there that has to do with place, because I'm not so much on the place as I am the presence. And I'm going to get there in just a second. But we really, 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 really get excited about heaven. But I'm going to ask you something. Now, I'm going to push you a little bit tonight, and you can push back if you want to. But why do we get excited about heaven? Here's what I hear all the time. Like, we sing, and I'm going to be nice. I want you to let me come back tomorrow night. I'm going to preach a little bit. I don't really care. We're just going to go on. I say whatever I want to say, so we're just going to say it, okay? I went to church one time, my current church. And if you like this song, it doesn't make you a bad person. So please, let's just get that out. Thank the Lord they didn't sing it tonight. Because then I felt really bad. But if you like it, now don't get mad at me, okay? I'm giving you a preface. But we sang every week almost when I got there, Mansion Over a Hilltop. Now, if you like it, that's fine. That's fine. But I'm not the least bit excited about heaven because I get a mansion over the hilltop. I'm not really that excited that there's streets of gold. I'm really not that excited that there's a crystal sea. I'm really not that focused about where I'm going to live up there. Here's what I'm really excited about. That where I am, you will be also. Here's why heaven's so good. Jesus is there. John Piper said he would be amazed if most of us would be okay if heaven was a place that was great as it talks about in Scripture. He said most people would still want to go there even if Jesus wasn't there. And he said that's why our focus is on heaven and not on Jesus. Here's why heaven's so good. Our Savior is there. That one day we will see Him face to face. That one day we're going to see the one who took the nails in His hand, who took the thorn on His brow, who took the nails in His feet. We're going to see the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We're going to see the Alpha and the Omega. We're going to see the Rose of Sharon. We're going to see none other than our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're not the least bit going to be worried about my mansion over the hilltop. We're going to be so amazed at who Jesus is that we won't worry about the mansion over the hilltop. Which I just want to bust your bubble real quick for a moment. The word mansion right there has to do with an apartment that's attached to something else. So you may not have as big of a mansion as you think you're going to have. But you say, you're crazy. I hear people all the time. We say something, and that's just, let's just go back. We've seen so many unbiblical songs so many times. I mean, good gracious. Let's at least sing about Jesus every once in a while. I don't care if you sing contemporary. I don't care if you sing hymns. I don't care if you sing bluegrass. I'm not a huge Southern gospel fan, but I like it every once in a while. I'm fine with whatever you sing, as long as you sing it about Jesus Christ. And we got songs about heaven. I am going to preach. It's Monday, right? It is Monday, right? One time I went to a funeral. That's where we sing the most unbiblical songs. And it was a song I couldn't believe. Something. I sat on stage. I was doing the funeral. And these were the words. That, bless God, if you sing it at your funeral, you can repent tonight and get right with God. And this is how the song went. Heaven needed a hero. That's why he took you. And I sat there, and I looked, because I thought, everybody else agrees with me that this is unbiblical. No, everybody else thought it was awesome. And I got up, because I am who I am, and you said, did you say something? Well, good gracious, I said something. Somebody needed to say something. And I said, this person that we're talking about today was a good person, and bless the Lord, he knew Jesus Christ. But heaven don't need a hero. He already has a hero, and it's Jesus Christ himself. We're not the heroes. And we're not going to take away his glory. Yes, heaven may have took somebody, but he didn't take a hero. That position's already been filled. And we get excited about heaven. Here's why I'm excited about heaven. He's going to go prepare me a place where he is also. It's actually a beautiful word right there. It has to do with an ancient oriental culture to where a bridegroom would go away to prepare a place for his bride. So he goes away, prepares. And guess what? Guess what in the ancient oriental culture they would do? Guess where they would attach the room to? The son would attach it to, you ready for it? It's good. The father's house. So here's what Jesus is doing. He's going back to the Father's house. He's prepared us a place. And he's going one day either step out and come back and get us, or we're going to come to him through acceptance and faith in who he is. And we have a prepared place for us. The question I have to ask you tonight is, are you prepared to go to that place? Do you know Jesus? Because it's going to be really, really good. He's prepared it for us. He's ready for us. He's going to bring us on in. And we're not going to sing anything about him. Can you imagine that? Getting there and saying, man, I tell you what, this mansion ain't as good as I thought it was going to be. Now, I know we're going to come back and rule on earth. We can divvy up what we want to do then. You know, I want a mansion, but I would like to divvy up some responsibilities when we come back on this earth. I'd like to be at Augusta National right there on the golf course. Amen? I'm kidding. Let's just go on. I lost some of you already right there. Brings peace, it brings his presence, and then it brings a pathway to us. Now here comes Thomas, and we give Thomas a bad rap all the time. He never says the right things. He always questions everything. He gets exactly his name that we've nicknamed him, and that is Doubting Thomas. But I will say this, at least Thomas asks questions. Most of the time you're just sitting over in the corner wondering things. And you'd say, well, you know, your teacher always asks you, she said, there are no stupid questions. No, there are some stupid ones every once in a while, but this is not a stupid one that he gives them right here. Although he hasn't been listening to anything they've said, and he just says this, hey, Jesus, we don't know where you're going. How do we get there? And Jesus just lobs him up one of those I am questions, that I am God, here's how you get to God, you get to God through me, and here's what he's going to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Wiersbe says it like this in his commentary, how can I be saved? I am the way. How can I be sure? I am the truth. How can I be satisfied? I am the life. Right there, way means that he is the way to God. That he is the pathway that leads us to God Almighty. Now, We live in a day and time where we fight about anything and everything in the church, and we think about, I hear it all the time, oh, what's the biggest thing that Southern Baptists are struggling with? What do you think the biggest struggle we're going to have, a denominational thing? You think it's going to be Calvinist or Arminian? You think it's going to be Reformed theology against Reformed theology? I don't think that's the case that we're going to struggle with doctrinally. I'm for both, but I am really for one more than the other, but we'll save that for another day and another time, amen? Here's the one we struggle with the most, and here's the one not just Baptists are struggling with, but a lot of people are struggling with this day and time, and that is there any other salvation other than Jesus Christ? You'd say no, but a lot of people believe there is. I had a man come tell me just the other day that I thought was pretty faithful and pretty good, and he assumed that all Muslims, all Christians, and all of us were headed to the same way. Yeah, that's just false, heretical, and not biblical. The only way is exactly what Acts 4 tells us. There is no other name by which men will be saved other than the name of Jesus. There is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the Son, Jesus Christ. You'd say, well, I don't believe. I hear it all the time. Pastor, you're so narrow-minded, you think Jesus Christ is the only way? Yes, I am so narrow-minded, I only think that Jesus Christ is the only way. And here's why I think it. Because Jesus said it. He made it very clear. So here's the truth. Either come by Jesus or don't come at all. That's the gospel. Come to Jesus and you'll get all. Come to Jesus and you'll get everything. You'll get salvation, grace, mercy, hope, love, life. Salvation in heaven and eternity with Him forevermore. And it's only through the blood and atoning work of Jesus Christ and our surrendering and asking Him to save us that by which we get that. He's the way. And truth be told, He's the only way. So why in the world are we trying to put it on church attendance and being good and our position, our power? It's none other than through Jesus Christ. Here's what I'm going to get up there and say. Here's why I'm getting into heaven. Because Jesus Christ saved me. That's it. No works of my own, but Jesus. I am the truth. You can guarantee it. You can write it down tonight that Jesus is exactly who He says He is and has done exactly what He said He would do. And then He's the life, which is the word by which we get our Greek word Zoe, which means God's own life that He breathes into us. He gave Adam life. He breathed it into him. We get life. Here's the truth. When do you get eternal life? When you die and go to heaven? No, you get eternal life when you get Jesus Christ and He saves you. Bar none right there. Because you get His life. And He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That is the gospel. And we get excited and we say, well, the gospel's heaven. No, the gospel is in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, we get eternal life. And oh, by the way, here's what we get. Eternity with Him forevermore in heaven. I went one time. It's a bad illustration. I always use bad illustrations, but it's just me. Okay, I went one time. I was so excited. I'm a little bit. I like ice cream. Y'all like ice cream? Are y'all even alive? Do y'all like ice cream? I mean, if you can't get, I'm gonna be honest with you. It'll be hard on you. If you can't get amen for ice cream in a Baptist church, we should go home. Can I get a second or a motion on a fried chicken or something in here? Good gracious. So I like ice cream. I love. This is just how fat I am. I'm so weird. I watched my mom do it when she was a kid. Now I do it all the time. My mom would go buy a Frosty from Wendy's. She'd take it home. She'd put it in the freezer. And then she'd take it back out again and eat it. I don't know why she did it. But I do the same thing. I'll go get a milkshake. And then I'll take it home, put it in the freezer to eat it later when it's just me by myself and I'm just trying to. Sometimes you just got to have a milkshake to get to the next day, amen? It's just you, your couch, and a milkshake, and you think, Jesus, you got this. Take me to the next day, amen? Is anybody else with me like that? I'm just going to tell you. So I went down in Arab. We don't have, we do now, we have Dairy Queen, but we have old school stuff. I live in Arab, Alabama. That's where I live, amen? It's not Arab. It says it just like it. It's A-R-A-B. It's Arab. I don't know. Okay? Named after a man named Arad with a D on the end, but they spelled it wrong when they went to the post office. So there we are. Okay? That's so Alabama, isn't it? But we're there. And I go in to, we've got it. It's Dairy Delight. not Dairy Queen. It's in the shape of a barn, shape of everything Dairy Delight. Going to Dairy Delight. And I said, hey, you know what? I'm coming in tonight. My wife's out of town. I'm going to get me a milkshake. I think I'm going to get me a cheeseburger, and I'm going to get me a fry. And I said, I do want a milkshake. She said, you know what you can do? She said, you can get rid of your drink on your combo, and for a dollar more, I can get you a milkshake. What? I stood back. I said, how long y'all been hiding that one from me? So what you're saying is, I'm going to get this right. I get a cheeseburger. I like a cheeseburger. I get fries. And you're just going to throw in there, in the niceness of your heart, a milkshake? Yes, sir. Well, bless God. That's all I needed to know. You say, it's a bad illustration. Here's what you get. You get peace and grace and mercy and life and hope. And you get to be a friend of Jesus. And you get to be saved. And you get Jesus Christ himself. And oh, by the way, you get heaven too. The gospel is Jesus. No reason. It should get us a little excited tonight. I don't sing a lot. But every time I read this scripture, I can't think about that just one thought, one song. Because I just get so excited about Jesus. Because you think about this, and I'm done. Jesus comforts these disciples in a chaotic time when he should be comforting himself. That's just how good he is. And yet in my life, when I'm chaotic and I'm struggling, I'm going through all these things, Jesus is constantly speaking truth and to telling me to believe in him because he's comforting me because he's so good. And then I think about the fact that one day I'm going to be with him forever and ever and ever, and that where he is, I will be also, that I will see him face to face, that I will be able to see the one who has saved me by his grace, that I will be there with him, and oh, by the way, that I only get there through him. And I just come back to that one song, oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. I shall look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by his hand, leads me through that promised land. Oh, what a day. Glorious day that will be. Would you bow your heads for me tonight? As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, I'm going to ask our musician to come and play. I'm going to ask her to come play the piano tonight. I'm not going to take for granted anything tonight. Evangelism Explosion asked us back in the day when we would use that program, that question of if you were to stand before the Lord and he was to ask you why you should enter into his kingdom, what would your answer be? Now think about it for a moment. What would your first answer be? If your answer is that you went to church, that's the wrong answer. If your answer was that you're a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, that's the wrong answer. If your answer is my mama and daddy went to church, that's the wrong answer. If the answer is even I went to church and did acts in your name, that's the wrong answer. Because he seems to indicate in the gospel that there's going to be a group that's named him Lord, Lord, and he never knew them. So religion doesn't get us in. Good works doesn't get us in. Turning over a new leaf doesn't get us in. Here's what gets us in. Here's the answer. I come by the way of Jesus Christ. At one time in my life, I knew I was a sinner. I repented of my sins. I turned to Jesus. He saved me. I put my faith and trust in him. He gave me life. He gave me grace. He gave me mercy. He gave me his love. And the only reason I'm getting in is because I know Jesus. And Jesus knows me. South Fork Baptist Church, what is your answer tonight? I'm going to ask David to come stand here at the front. Here's what we're going to do. If you need Jesus Christ tonight, would you break the pride that's holding you back right now? Some of you know you need Jesus. We live in a Bible Belt Christianity, and some of you are connected, and all you've got to hold on to is church and church attendance. Let that pride go tonight and give your life to Jesus Christ. You sit there tonight and you sit in your pride and you say this word. What are they going to say if I give my life to the Lord? They already think I'm saved. Who in the world cares what they say? Who in the world cares what they think? All that's going to matter is between you and Jesus tonight. I can guarantee you this. If you get saved tonight, I don't care if you're a deacon, a Sunday school teacher. I don't care if David needs to get saved tonight. We're going to celebrate it. We're going to lift it up. But here's the gospel. And you're going to know this, and you're going to hear it. And that is, the gospel is found in the person and work of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. He loves you. He cares for you tonight. He wants to save you. Here in a moment, we're going to pray. I want you, if you need to get saved tonight, to immediately get up and come to this pastor. Immediately. Don't even wait. Maybe right now. Come to this pastor and tell him you need to get saved tonight. And then you'd say, well, most of us are saved in here tonight, preacher. What does it matter to us? Well, if we've been given the gospel of Jesus Christ, then what in the world are we doing sitting on it? Let us go to the highways and hedges, proclaiming the goodness and the gospel of God. Let's not go out there proclaiming church attendance and all those things. Let's go proclaiming that Jesus Christ is still mighty to save. That He's the only way. That He's the only truth and He is the life. And that we at South Fork Baptist Church, those of us that know Christ, would leave this place as the Father has sent me. Now we are sending you out to declare the gospel and the good news to a lost and dying world. God, we pray that this time of invitation, that we would respond to you. Maybe we need to get saved. May we come. Maybe we just need to get around the altar and pray for lost friends, lost co-workers, lost spouses, lost kids, and just pray that we would be the opportunity of sharing our faith with them. God, that we would rely on nothing but Jesus Christ. Then we'd praise you tonight. Oh, what a day it will be when we see you. There's coming a day where all of us are going to stand somewhere, either in heaven or hell. God, I pray that by the blood of Jesus, all of us are going to stand in heaven. We pray that right now you would work in the lives of your people. In your name we pray. Would you stand? Keep your eyes closed tonight. We're just going to let her play, but we're going to ask you to stand. We're going to ask you to stand because I want to give you an opportunity to come out. You say, well, our eyes are closed. What do? Tap that person beside you. They'll let you out. Don't let anything hold you back from coming tonight. The pastor is here at the front. If you need to come, would you come?
What about you? Somebody you that's lost that you need to pray for tonight? Do you know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? This could be the night that the Lord's drawing you. Don't let anything keep you from that. Nothing worth it. Walking out this door without Christ. What's he saying? Everybody look here. I love you. You know somebody that don't have Christ, plant that seed of the gospel in their life this week. You say, well, I've done it so many times. Plant the seed. Sow the seed. Don't give up. Don't give up. Look around. If you see somebody that wasn't here tonight, tell them, hey, we miss you. Life's so busy. We think we don't have time to do anything, but we have time to do exactly what we want to do, each and every one of us. Let them know they're missed and that we love them. Don't beat them over the head. Just let them know, hey, you're missed. We love you. Tim, thank you so much. Thank you. The gospel, it's not a one-time deal. It's every day living it out. Get up in the morning. Start your day out. Rehearse what Christ has done for you and go in his name. I'm going to pray. Thank you for being here tonight. Father, we praise you and we thank you. We thank you that, Lord, when we get a glimpse in your word, we see the simplicity, but yet the profoundness of the gospel and how we complicate it so many times. God, I pray for each person here. I pray for each situation they're in. I pray for every lost person that's represented, for their family or children or co-workers or friends. God, I pray, Lord, let us be a catalyst to go out, plant the seed, to love others. God, to show the most of all, to live the gospel every day in where we work, where we go to school, whatever we might do, Lord, that people will see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Thank you so much, God, that you're in the saving business. Thank you for your presence, God, that you promises that. Lord, we look forward to that day that we can be with you forever in glory. And fallenness will be gone, God, all around us. Thank you that we have that hope. And God, you give us purpose. And you send us out on a mission and a plan. You say, carry that gospel, that message of hope around the world. Thank you for that. I pray you bless everybody. Protect them as they go home. Bring them back tomorrow night. For your glory, all God's people said, amen.